The following paid commercial program was furnished by the program sponsor. The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us again on this awesome Friday, Radio Free New York. I'm Andrew Hollister, your host, running for Lieutenant Governor of New York State, and I'm joined with Bob Savage.
Hello, everybody.
So here we are at the show. I'm going to give you guys just a brief recap like I normally do, and I'm going to apologize to the people on Facebook. It looks like we're live on Twitter, live on YouTube. For some reason, not live on Facebook. That's their issue, though, not ours.
Shadow blocked again, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it could be. They don't like liberty over there.
No.
So they must be throttling us down. So at the last show, we talked. We gave you guys a glimpse at SAFE Act 2 and just how terribly awful that is going to be if Cuomo gets that rammed through. And if you haven't heard about SAFE Act 2, there's 10 pieces to it. We went over in the last show. If you think SAFE Act 1 is bad, SAFE Act 2 is awful.
By the way, he can't ram it through if he's not elected.
Exactly.
Just want to point that out.
Exactly.
There's another choice out there. Oh. Who comes to mind? Help me out, Andrew.
Well, it's not the Green Party guy, right?
No. What's his name again? Charlie Chuckles?
Hawkins.
Hawkins. Okay,
that's the guy. Cynthia Nixon, she just officially dropped out. So it's not her.
She's joining with Andrew Cuomo in making New York more progressive. That's the quote. Well, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be more progressive in New York.
Yeah. And it's not the red team guy, because he doesn't even care about the Second Amendment. So who's that leave? There's a guy who actually, in the last 30 days, has had more Google searches as his name than Cuomo and Molinaro.
Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen. 1, 2, 3.
Larry Sharp. Yep, that's right. And actually, so that's kind of a cool thing I wanted to share with you guys. We track Google Analytics. We've got the Repeal the SAFE Act sign dancing outside of the studio right now.
Bob DeAngelo's got the Repeal the SAFE Act. Let me think. Now, is the red guy going to do that?
No.
Danny Downstate going to do that? No.
Not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, the only opportunity we have to repeal the SAFE Act is getting Larry Sharp elected, hands down. That's the only way it's going to happen. And to prevent SAFE Act 2. Because if Mr. Red Team's not willing to attack the SAFE Act, he's certainly not going to be willing to defend us against SAFE Act 2.
Now, inquiring minds want to know, will Larry Sharp be actually on the physical ballot?
He is. Yes,
we are
on the ballot.
Look at that.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. We are on the ballot.
Easy to vote for.
Now, interestingly enough, Board of Elections, they do this thing every so often where they combine the lines you're on. So when you see your ballot, you're going to actually see us on the same line as Stephanie Miner. And her name comes before ours, ironically. That's just there to confuse you. Fill it out, fill in that bubble, vote for Larry Sharp. And
don't be thrown off by the fact they're on the same line.
Yeah. Don't let that get in your way, because that is that's something that happens every once in a while. It's very frustrating. So that's what we talked about. SAFE Act 2. That was the primary thing that we discussed during our last episode. We brought up our bad laws. We talked about Board of Election laws a little bit. I know some people disagree with me a little bit on the voter registration thing. That's fine. I'm just going to throw it out there, nice Martin Luther King quote that I enjoy, which is a right delayed is a right denied. And, you know, I feel like we fight for that very much so with our Second Amendment rights, and our right to vote should follow that exactly. So, so just a reminder that you can call into the show. I'd love to hear from you guys. I love your comments on social media, whether it's on Facebook, which is still not streaming here, so I'm going to try to get that up and running while we go. But call us, 585-346-3000. If you're on your Verizon cell phone, it is *1040. And if you're outside the area, 866-552-1009.
I think that Verizon *1040 number still works. During the break, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, let's try it out. See if that works. If not, call one of the other numbers. We'd love to hear your questions, your comments, and respond to them. So I want you guys to think about something throughout this episode, because I was thinking about this morning. I don't know why. I woke up and, you know, I wonder how many people ask themselves this question every day, because it's something that resonates with me, and me being maybe what you would consider kind of a young guy to run for politics. I wonder about this. I kind of know the answer already, but I want people to think. So if you were to measure all of these items over the last 10 to 20 years, if you were to measure our politicians today, would you say, compared to 10 or 20 years ago, they're more or less corrupt? Would you say that we, as people, compared to 10 or 20 years ago today, are more or less free? Would you say our rights are more or less infringed on? Would you say our education is better or worse? Would you say our taxes are higher or lower? So throughout the episode, just kind of think about that. You know, today compared to 10 or 20 years ago, how are we compared to those things? It sounds like we've got a caller on the phone.
We do. We have Joe from Belfast down in Allegheny County. Hey, Joe.
Jillian was in Wellsville last night, and she says she is against the New York Safe Act all of a sudden.
All of the sudden, yes. So wolf in sheep's clothing, maybe?
I think the term, Joe, is remarkable versatility of conviction.
What's that?
let's put it this way. It's just not a good thing.
I didn't get that. No. I want to see a blend of the two. I want to see Molinaro and Hollister win.
Okay.
I think that'd be an interesting combination.
I don't know if that's doable or not.
Maybe a while ago it could have been, but I got to tell you, I mean, I've been in the same room as Molinar. I've heard him speak, and I don't trust the guy. I can't trust somebody who's been in political office since he was 18 years old. You know, a just straight through career politician who then chose somebody on his ticket. And he said personally that he is the one who chose Julie Killian. You know, who chose somebody who he knew very well was totally anti-Second Amendment. I don't know.
Where did the narrative come from that the GOP imposed her on it? Because that was what his claim was for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe that was like, this is going to be our safe bet. Like, maybe we say this, and then maybe it got out, so they had to come forward, or I don't know. I don't know why the story changed. I don't. But I know that I've seen and heard him say many times.
Right, Joe says he knows. What do you know, Joe?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything, but I think we all understand why the story changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, let me just try to hazard a guess here, Joe. Are you going to vote here in November?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good. Good. You got all your buddies. They're all going to vote down there in Allegheny County, too. You're going to get them to the polls?
Boy, that's tough. It's like I told Astorino, your constituency is lost in the woods.
Yeah. Well, just see if you can. I don't know. Pack your car with as many as you can.
We'll drag them in.
Yeah. Well, good to hear, Joe. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
All right. And 866-552-1009. You're in Northern Pennsylvania, because you know we go, Andrew. We go pounding down there to the southwest.
Awesome.
Matter of fact, in the mornings you can hear us in Pittsburgh, and. Okay, Star 1040 we hear in our headphones is no more. So don't try Star 1040. We don't want to mislead you. You got to dial at 346-3000 or the 866-552-1009.
Yep. Yeah, so thank you very much for the call in. And yeah, anybody else that wants to call in, we're live on Facebook now. So we're back up and running. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of voting.
All right, well, tell you what. Why don't we save that for after the break? Importance of voting, which is extremely important.
Yep.
And we got to give it more than 30 seconds here before a break. So,
absolutely. All right. So we'll be back after this short break here. You're listening to Radio Free New York.
And we welcome our new listeners at 95.5 on the west side, WYSL Spencerport, and, of course, 92.1 and the Big 1040 that gets us all the way down to Allegheny County and all the way up to the St. Lawrence. We'll be back.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello?
Honey, we need help. A pipe burst and the basement is flooding.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Burst pipe. Water all over the basement. What am I going to do, brother?
Call Taylor. 500-HELP. Their plumbing experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500-HELP? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor. 500 help.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
We are back on Radio Free New York. Here's Andrew Hollister.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of voting, but before we do, we've got another caller. So, sounds like Eric from Rochester's on the phone.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, how's it going, Eric?
We appreciate you sitting in on the Voice of Liberty over there today, Andrew. One thing I wanted to say thanks for also is the Sharp Hollister campaign for bringing attention to the scaffold laws for everybody. I don't think everybody knows what's going on unless they have to be a contractor in construction, and how devastating the scaffold laws are for our economy, and not really doing anything to make anybody safer, in particular only to New York State.
Yeah, no, absolutely, that's right. So for the listeners who don't know, the scaffold laws were actually one of our bad laws that we discussed maybe a few episodes ago, and Larry and I do have a platform on that. That is, let's get rid of them. We are the only state that has these laws, and like Eric said, yeah, they really, really hurt contractors. They slow up construction, they make it expensive, they make insurance expensive, and it doesn't make anybody safer. So, absolutely.
We've got thousands of people probably working under the table now throughout the state for somebody that doesn't have comp insurance. So they're not paying any income tax. They're not paying any federal income tax, no FICA, no unemployment insurance, disability insurance, or building an employment history so that they can get loans and stuff in the future for themselves. And besides the state missing out on that money, on the other end of the state money, every municipal project is artificially inflated by hundreds of millions of dollars in some case because of the scaffold laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point, Eric, and that is whenever government gets into any kind of economic equation, when the marketplace gets grossly distorted, what happens is inevitably it's a black market. Because if people want a product or a service, they're going to find a way to get it. That's why 60% of all cigarette sales in New York are black market.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what we see constantly in New York State is imposing heavy regulations, licensing, fines, fees, or just really strict guidelines. And we create a black market time.
When government tries to control your behavior using taxation and the power of government, inevitably it fails. because people want what they want, and they are who they are. You might be able to put a little dent in it, but it's always counterproductive. But we appreciate the call, Eric.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks, keep listening. Eric's line is open at 585-346-3000. And we'll get to Christine here in just a second. There we go. It had to be ambidextrous. Hey, Christine.
Yep.
There we are. Welcome. You're on Radio Free New York.
Molinaro is a token candidate. There wasn't a word out of him or about him until very recently. And just remember that Pataki got rid of Mario Cuomo. You guys are way, way ahead of Pataki.
Yes, yes. Wow, well, thank you so much.
That's a great thought and a great note of encouragement, Christine.
Yeah, I have plenty of it. Yeah, good luck and God bless. Bye-bye now.
Thanks so much. God bless you, Christine. It's always a happy day when Christine calls in.
Yeah, she's awesome. I always love it when she calls in. So, all right. So we're going to talk a little bit about the importance to vote. I actually, this past week, got to celebrate the Frederick Douglass Bicentennial at the Frederick Douglass Foundation locally and spoke with people about the importance of voting and how activism looks differently for each of us. My activism is different than, say, my friends or coworkers or, you know, many people. All of us, our activism looks different. It could be something as simple as sharing a post on Facebook, commenting on something on Twitter, reaching out to your local news station and saying, hey, I believe this. I think this is wrong. Maybe you write an op-ed. Phone banking, door-to-door, setting up events. Something else activism can be, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, is voting with your money. But before we go to that, and before I talk about my experience at the Frederick Douglass Foundation, we have a little clip here my wife actually put together. Some of you know this, some of you don't. My wife is actually an immigrant from Czech Republic. She's been a permanent resident for many years, a legal immigrant, and recently this year got her citizenship. So she wanted to do a brief video to talk about how excited she is about her first time to vote. And what was really cool is when she got her citizenship, she started getting messages from people saying, wow, we're so excited that you're excited to vote. But, you know, we kind of feel bad that people who are born here and citizens and have lived here their whole life, that they aren't motivated to vote. So we're just going to play this clip. It's maybe a hair under 2 minutes.
What's your wife's name?
Yolanda.
Yolanda. Okay, yep. Yolanda has been in the U.S. for how long?
She's been here for over 20 years.
Okay.
Yep. Right. As a green card holder, permanent resident.
And she was naturalized when?
March, which is an amazing ceremony.
That's
it was so
great.
Awesome.
There must not have been a dry eye in the place all day.
No, it was very moving. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, here's Yolanda.
Hi, my name is Yolanda. My husband, Andrew Hollister, is running for lieutenant governor along with Larry Sharp this year, and I'm really excited about it. And I wanted to share a story with you. So I'm in the Susan B. Anthony Square. I thought it was very fitting because if it wasn't for her, I would not have the right to vote this year. So I'm an immigrant. I immigrated here from Czech Republic, and I get to vote this year, which is really exciting. So last year, I applied for my citizenship. It was the same year that Andrew ran for city council, and I was really hoping I would get to vote for him as my first time casting a vote, because how cool would that be? But I did not get my citizenship in time. I did, however, meet Larry Sharp at the same time, and I loved him off the bat. I was never really someone who was interested in politics, but meeting somebody who was so down to earth and really had good principles and wanted to take New York in a great direction meant a lot to me. So when I became a citizen this year and I found out he was running for governor, I was really excited that was going to be the first vote I get to cast. To make things even better, Andrew actually ended up running with him as lieutenant governor after I got my citizenship, so now I got to vote for two of my favorite people. But the other reason it's so exciting, other than getting to vote for them, is that I get to cast a historical vote this year. When these two win, it's going to be historic for the whole United States, and I get to be a part of that. My first vote gets to be part of something big and historic, and I get to vote for my husband. So I'm urging you, if you've never voted, whether you weren't a citizen or and are now, or you just never had the motivation to go out and vote, I would love it if you could come join me to cast this historical vote in this election and help make a new New York.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Yolanda, we need Yolanda in Albany.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and here's the thing. She's a citizen now, so maybe she decides to pursue some activism someday. I don't know.
Wow, that's just great. Yeah. She could be an important part of the Hollister staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and she's got a very creative mind. She does a lot in the community. She's also a photographer. So that's kind of like her side thing that she's grown. Uh-huh. She's grown a photography business. But she also works at one of the local schools. She's actually putting together the Veterans Day breakfast and stuff like that. So
excellent.
She does a whole bunch. As we talk about voting, I kind of alluded to, going to the Frederick Douglass Foundation, talking about the importance of voting. And somebody stood up and spoke about voting with your money and activism with your money. And that's something that it comes up a lot when campaigns ask for donations, but maybe doesn't come up for the rest of the year, for the rest of the time when you interact with your day-to-day life. So this person's example was asking the people out there, and this is something that I sometimes ask Second Amendment supporters as well, not this first one, but the second piece. He asked, how many people in the room shop at Starbucks? And I think maybe he knew a lot of people in the room because the answer was pretty clear. No one. No one in the room shopped at Starbucks. And his next question was, well, is it because they have bad coffee? And the answer overwhelmingly in the room was it had nothing to do with the coffee. It had to do with how Starbucks treats conservatives, how they spend their money in the political arena, what causes they support versus the ones they don't, and what causes they attack.
Plus they have lousy coffee. I just want to toss that in there.
Yeah, so I have to admit I've never had Starbucks coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I couldn't speak to the quality, but sounds like they got bad coffee.
It tastes like burned toast.
There you go.
I mean, expensive and doesn't taste good. I mean, I'd much rather have Dunkin'.
There you go.
And actually, truth be told, McDonald's has a darn good cup of coffee for a buck.
Do they? Yeah. Okay. Huh. Learn something new every day.
It's not quite Dunkin', but it's a close second, and you can have any size you want, small, medium, large, for a buck. So
there's
a free spot for McDonald's.
Yep. That really got me thinking. As Second Amendment supporters, a lot of times we talk about how people aren't shopping at Dick's anymore because Dick's is, made the decision that they would be not quite anti-Second Amendment.
They've just rolled over.
Yeah, yeah. They've essentially caved to the pressure.
A bunch of wusses.
Yep. And now they're choosing to not have certain firearms on their shelves. And by and large, many, many Second Amendment supporters, hunters, shooters, whatever you are, people that don't even own guns but think that your Second Amendment shouldn't be infringed on, have decided we won't shop at Dick's anymore.
Just imagine what the goodwill Dick's would have attracted had they made the opposite decision.
Yeah.
Had they said, you know something? We absolutely are not going to roll over to the gun control idiots.
Yep.
Second Amendment really means something. That's why it's in the Constitution. So you can buy what you want to at Dick's. I think people would beat a path to their door.
They would. Absolutely. And you see the opposite happening because they chose not to stand up for the Second Amendment. Their stock is falling now. They're suffering. I'll be honest. I went into a Dick's a couple weeks ago. It was empty in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was empty in there. And I was like, yeah, this is working. People are voting with their money. So I bring this up because this morning I received a piece of mail from one of the largest Second Amendment organizations, the NRA, asking for more of my money. And I see that in this election, they have chose not only to not extend a rating to us, but not even give us the opportunity to fill out their questionnaires. And there's another group as well, locally in New York, that has done that. I've paid memberships to these organizations. I've given, in some cases, a significant sum of money to them in under the impression that they would represent my values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all politics aside, when the SAFE Act passed, I decided that I would take my income and put my money where my mouth is and put it towards organizations that I believed represented my values, voting with my money. And this year I'm just not feeling like, and I don't know if it's because I'm a little more hyper aware of what's going on, but I'm really feeling like some of these organizations aren't following their mission statement. Actually, I know they're not because I'm watching what they're doing. So when we come back, I'll tell you guys a little bit about what I'm thinking, how I might change where I put my money, and how I might vote with my money moving forward.
Radio Free New York, we bump out to our second break here with Andy's greatest hit.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
Whatever that means, and I think that happens to mean when everybody agrees with Andrew, and or at least he can convince himself that that's the case. We'll be back on Radio Free New York and WYSL.
You're listening to the voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Avon Gun and Hunting Supply reminds you to protect your Second Amendment rights and exercise your right to vote. Freedom is not free. Be sure to honor and thank our veterans. Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, East Main Street in Avon.
Radio Free New York on WYSL. AM 1040, FM 92.1, and FM 95.5 West.
All right, guys, here we are. We're back from our break, Radio Free New York, where we talk about all of your rights all of the time. And as I alluded to before the break, this morning I was kind of thinking that I need to change how I vote with my money. And some of you may or may not feel the same way, but I'm just going to show you guys and share with you where my head is at. So this year, I'm seeing more and more how the Republican Party and Second Amendment organizations are literally walking away from supporting the Second Amendment. They are literally deciding it's not worth fighting for. Maybe it's too hard to fight for. Maybe they're going to fight for it the same way they've been fighting for it, which to me is, you know, there's this quote that is, oh, how's it go? It goes along the lines of repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. So with that being said, this is frustrating to me, right? And the reason it's frustrating to me is because I've put so much into this cause. I've put so much into some of these organizations, and I'm seeing them make what I perceive to be extremely poor choices and bad decisions. As far as going to, they are trying to change their bylaws to make it so that they're not going to rate candidates outside of the major parties, or deciding that they're going against their own bylaws, their own nonprofit status, their own mission statement to maintain party allegiance. And what's worse is they're ignoring their members. And I know this because, A, I'm a member. And B, the other members reach out to me and tell me this. And I see it on their Facebook pages. I see them fighting with their own membership. I'm seeing leadership fighting with their own membership.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Especially in the context of a volunteer organization.
Exactly.
It's absolutely deadly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and an organization where you depend on the money of membership renewals to exist. So a little while back, I already made the decision that if I didn't see a turn in these organizations, that I would walk away. I will not renew my membership. That's a decision I already made. I would find an organization to give that money to that does represent my values, does represent my principles, and actually acts on it. That they don't just talk about it, say, oh, we're doing things. And when you ask, oh, what is it? They go, well, we don't want the left to know, so we can't tell anybody, which is what I constantly hear from the NRA. Constantly.
You think the left hasn't figured out what you're up to?
Yep. I've literally been told from the NRA rep that he can't tell me what court cases they're fighting because they don't want the left to find out. Court cases
it's a matter
are public,
of public record.
Yes.
That's a ridiculous excuse.
Yep. And literally he spent 15, 20 minutes trying to just explain to me why he couldn't share with me what they're doing in New York. Oh, nobody can know because then if they know, then maybe somebody will try to stop us. It's like all of this is public record.
This is actually somebody from the NRA.
Yes, it's the NRA representative. Yeah. Yep. It's not the first time I've had this type of conversation. It's just I'm now getting upset about it, getting frustrated with it. Before, I was maybe a little more complacent. It was like, well, you know, maybe you are doing the right thing. Here's my money. But I'm just not feeling that anymore. And the reason I'm not feeling that is I look at New York State and the nation 10, 20 years ago. And I look at today and go, are my Second Amendment rights better off today than they were 10 or 20 years ago?
No.
And I'd say
they're
no.
Not.
I'd say they're not at all. So I look at this with some of the other organizations in New York State who are following that same path, charging memberships for their organizations, soliciting donations, but this is going to offend some people, failing to protect our Second Amendment rights, failing to, being given the money, being given the resources, not making progress.
Waging war on their own membership.
Yep.
That's the most pernicious part of it all. Which is why I'm not affiliated with that organization. Yeah. We're thinking of the same one.
Yep. Yeah, and this isn't an attack on the organization, right? And it's not an attack on the NRA. What it is discussing voting with your money. And if you don't feel that these organizations are spending your money wisely, maybe it's time to find somebody else.
It's also basically a truism that your money is yours to do with what you will, and if the organization is not producing the results that you want, then you can vote with your feet. You can go somewhere else. You can find other organizations. There are a lot of grassroots type Second Amendment rights organizations cropping up in New York State, and this is a good sign. For example, you have the New York Affiliate of Gun Owners of America. You don't mind my...
Weighing
in, GOANYS is the name of the organization.
Yep,
and they're still in a building phase. I think it's going a little slower than I would prefer it to. But these folks have to use the resources they have at the speed that they can move at. And so anyway, GOANYS is worthy of your support. In Western New York, there's the 1791 PAC. Which is headquartered in Erie County, and they are a political action committee, which is very important because at one time the gun organizations had some pretty good lobbying going on in Albany. I'm sad to say that that's not the case anymore because we did have some effective movement with the state legislators. But anyway, 1791 PAC is also worthy of joining. And don't forget to join your local rod and gun club, too.
Yes, yes. Support your local gun clubs. There's actually going to be one or two new shooting ranges opening up. One in Webster, and I think one in Chilai in the next couple months.
Heard about the one in Webster, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be kind of cool.
Some serious money going into that one, by the way.
Yeah, I was talking with the owner at the gun show, and it seems like it's going to be a pretty cool facility, so I can't wait to check that out. So where am I getting with all of this? Why am I talking about this? Because I think it's important to share with you guys where my head's at. And today I made the decision and I'm still thinking about this. I'm thinking I might actually go to these organizations and ask for a refund on my membership. and take that money. And who knows? They might fight me on it and say, no, you can't have a refund, you know, this or that. Usually when I buy a membership with these organizations, I'll buy the 5-year. I'll buy the 3-year. And then, you know, I know if I've got spare money throughout the years, I will donate additional to them because it's important to me. But I think I'd rather have that money back and put it to an organization like GOA New York, that when I see them, I see they're actually doing active things, doing things that, yeah, meet my principles and my values. So this is kind of why I'm contemplating. This is why I'm thinking about. I know one of these organizations has already gone from 7,500 members down to 3,700.
Yow.
So I know people are leaving already, and this might be the right time to say, you know what? Yeah, give me prorated membership back. I want to put this into an organization that is going to do something with my money to protect our rights.
Yeah, good luck with that. If we're thinking about the same organization, I don't think they have the money to give back to you.
Yeah, they might not. They spent their time. They spent their time and resources suing themselves. So
suing each other. Yeah. Which yep. And then losing.
Yeah. So I say all that, and then I want to remind you about the question I asked at the beginning of this show, and I'm just gonna read it right back to you again. And that is,
let's do these one by one.
Yeah. Let's go through
like a pop quiz here.
Yeah. So you can think about this now. You've had some time. This is think of today compared to 10, 20 years ago. If you measure our politicians today, would you say that they're more or less corrupt?
More
corrupt. Yeah.
And not only are they more corrupt, the corruption's worse.
It's way worse. Absolutely. Compared to 10 or 20 years ago to today. Would you say we're more or less free?
Less free.
Less free.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Would you say
if we have a little thing called the Patriot Act?
Yep. Yeah. One of many disruptions of our civil liberties and our rights.
And that's just one example.
Yeah. Yep. Would you say that our rights are more or less infringed on?
More.
More infringed on.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
When you're driving around Rochester, for example, how many times do you think you're photographed?
I couldn't even say so many.
So you, many. You tend to look downwards. You look at where you're looking where you're walking, and you're maybe you're engrossed in meeting somebody, so you're scanning the sidewalks looking for a face. Raise your eyes and look up at the level above the street where you find like the street lights and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Look for a little flashing blue light.
Yep.
There.
The blue light cameras. Yeah. Yeah, and they can read the time on your watch from 2 blocks away in full high def with those things.
Yeah, the definition is scary.
Yeah, yeah. Would you say our education is better or worse?
Immensely worse.
Yeah. No.
Talking about public schools.
Yes, yeah, K-12 system specifically. Way, way worse.
How do you folks feel about Common Core?
Yeah.
How do you like the fact that your local school districts and government have colluded for this indoctrination conveyor belt known as Common Core?
Yeah. And that you have no say. You have no say in what your child
They don't
learns.
Care what you think.
Yep.
They think that your kid belongs to them.
Yep. And the teachers many times have no say, too. The teachers complain saying, I do this or I lose my job.
Yeah. So what else are they going to do?
Yep. Would you say our taxes are higher or lower?
Immensely higher.
Yep.
So we're paying more for worse government.
Yep. So my question following all of those questions is this. Why would we continue to fight this fight the same way? Why would we continue to give our money to organizations who tell us that their mission is to make it so these things haven't happened? Some of these organizations have existed for 50 plus years. It's their job to protect these things as we fund them. They haven't. We can't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results.
I think people are lost. I think people are confused. And I think that they've spent a lot of time and money trying to support Republican causes. And they feel like they're caught on the horns of this two-party dilemma where, I'm not nuts about what the Republicans have done for us, but what am I going to do, vote for the Democrats?
Yeah.
And the other parties don't have a shot. I mean, it's almost gotten in New York State to where the Republicans don't have a shot anymore. So what am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, this year there's an option. There's a third option. It's the Larry Sharp option.
Well, there's always an option. Yep. And by the way, and then there's the option of staying home, but that's not really an option because basically when you stay home, you're voting for Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
And more of the corruption and all the nonsense, you know, $6 billion bridges we don't need and God knows what else. That's what you do when you don't vote, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, is you're helping Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And you know, you can stand on principle and say, I'm not going to vote for any of these crooks. But what you're doing then is you're voting for the status quo. Everything that you do or don't do has consequences.
Yeah.
There's no, you can't stick your head in the sand and say, well, if I don't vote, I'm not part of the problem.
Yeah.
No, you are the problem.
Yeah. And to that point, 70% of New Yorkers don't vote. 70%. When Cuomo got elected last time, less than 12% of the New York State population voted for him.
Well, if you'll pardon my glibness, 70% of the people in New York State shouldn't vote. No, did I say that in my outline? Yeah. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'm sorry, Andrew. I just ruined your show.
No, not a problem at all. So we'll be back here in a minute after this break.
You should vote whoever you are. I'm just kidding. don't take that to heart.
Yep. No, absolutely. Go out, vote. It is the most important thing you can do this year is to figure out who best represents your principles and your values, and that you come out November 6th and vote in this election. Absolutely.
Radio Free New York, always on via podcast at WISL1040.com. And Andrew's got about six other ways to listen, too. We'll be back on the WISL stations with Andrew Hollister.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
If you're looking to market and grow your business, make new business connections, and give back to the community in a meaningful way, consider joining the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. We're the largest suburban chamber in Monroe County, and we offer networking, education, marketing, insurance, and advocacy. You do not need to live or work in Greece to join. Our members come from throughout the region. In short, we're better together, and together, we're moving business forward. Visit GreeceChamber.org or call 585-227-7272 to join today.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
And it's time for Bad Law of the Week on Radio Free New York.
So here we are every week. We talk about bad law in New York, and I'm going to bend the rules just a little bit on this one.
Wait, work for Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah, well, you know. What I want to talk about our bad law of this week, it's more bad legislation, and that is the tolls on the New York State Thruway. So the tolls on the Thruway were never meant to be permanent. We were not supposed to have them today. In fact, in 1996, they were supposed to be totally abolished.
I thought they were originally supposed to be done long before that.
Yes. But in 1996, federal government, and this is just the most recent one that I could come across, federal government gave us funding. We were supposed to eliminate the tolls. New York State was stuck on the money and hasn't walked away from it. So
can't get that needle out of your arm there in Albany.
Yeah, absolutely. So our New York State Thruway is 570 miles long, and there is a way that we could cover that infrastructure without tolls. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about it. But before that...
Grow pot in the median strip?
Yeah, well, I guess we could do that. Man, we'd have the best roads in the nation if we did that. The drivers might be really slow, though. It would slow down.
Really fast.
Yeah. I don't know how many people know this, and I know we kind of reached Syracuse a little bit with the station. In 2017, Cuomo actually vetoed a bill to eliminate the tolls in the Syracuse area.
Yeah, well, that's so, not surprising now, is it?
Yep. So Syracuse, you could have had your section of 90 toll-free. Cuomo said no.
Progressives never met a tax they didn't like.
Yeah. So what can we do? You know, sometimes people ask, they say, well, you know, if we were to get rid of the New York State thruway tolls, that's a lot of money that we're used to having that we can't spend.
Wait a minute. Is that a good thing?
No.
Is that a good thing for the government to have more money to spend?
No, it's not.
Because does it get spent on improving the road? No. Well, if you go across I-90, across the center part of the state, which is the New York State thruway, is any of it three lanes in each? No, it's still like the 1955, two lanes in each direction for the most part. Yeah. There's some stretches that are three.
There's a few little stretches there, yeah.
But
yeah,
for the most part, not.
Yeah. By and large, it's not a great thruway. You know, I've traveled the country mostly by driving, and other states have significantly better roads to drive on. They're free. Free roads to drive on. Who would have thunk? But people are concerned about it. People ask about it. They go, well, you know, if you get rid of the tolls, how are we going to pay for the roads? They're always worried about the roads.
How does Tennessee pay for theirs?
Yeah.
How does Kentucky pay for theirs?
Yep. I don't know. Maybe responsible spending. I know that's kind of a weird thing to talk about, but, you know, maybe we should spend the money right. So what can we do, though? What, you know, for those who are really, really concerned, we have a plan. Larry and I have a plan to replace that money to make sure that your roads are, I guess, up to par with what they are today, which is really just abysmal. And that is leasing out naming rights to our infrastructure. Right now, literally in New York State, we have a bridge in New York City named after our imperial family, the Cuomos. We do. It is the Mario Cuomo Bridge. We literally have a royal bridge. Why isn't that the Key Bank Bridge? Why isn't that the Staples Bridge? Why didn't we open that up and say, hey, companies that spend billions of dollars a year on marketing and advertising, give us $100 million. We'll put your name on the bridge. And every day during rush hour, during traffic, your name will be mentioned on every radio station, every news station, with traffic reports. And it'll happen. You're telling me they wouldn't pay $100 million for that? Of course they would. Absolutely. How do we know this? They're already paying $50+ million on stadiums to have their name on there that get used on weekends 6 months a year. That's it. So, yeah, this could be a great investment. We have spoken with companies who have said they'd be on board. We've had bankers come to us saying, yeah, we want to get involved in the financing for this. So there's already generated interest on this. But here's the best part. We lease out the naming rights. Two additional things become true. One, that company is responsible for maintenance. So we take that off, that burden off the taxpayer right away. If it's the Staples Bridge, Staples is responsible for making sure the potholes are filled. And if they don't, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to drive around in the car, hitting those potholes, and where are they going to say? Staples sucks. They won't fix the road. It's bad advertising. So they will absolutely, to keep a positive image, they will start competing to have the best paved roads. We'll have great infrastructure. We'll reduce the tax burden. But one more thing. They won't be allowed to charge tolls on the road either. So no more tolls in New York. Less tax dollars being spent on that. And also no more corrupt contracts. No more people in government giving out crony contracts to their buddies for these roads. Staples isn't going to put up with that. Bank of America's not. If the roads aren't done, they're going to go with the best bidder, and that's not always the lowest bidder, but they'll do it right to make sure their reputation stays intact when they do this sort of thing.
Speaking of reputation, if you lease out the naming rights as opposed to selling them, then you can retrieve the naming rights if we have somebody who is not a good corporate citizen. Correct. So, you know, if you know, the traffic reporter goes, things are getting hot and heavy on the Harvey Weinstein, you know.
Yep.
You can pull those naming rights back and release them to someone else.
Yes. And also, you know, Larry and I, we're business people. We understand that we need to keep our assets. So we're not selling the bridge, right? We New York State will absolutely maintain the ownership. We're just leasing the naming rights.
It's very unlike the Democrats who've been selling us bridges for years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And bridges and roads aren't the only thing. This could be sections of 90 that people lease the naming rights to. We have 35 locks and 363 miles of Erie Canal right now. We could literally make the locks tourist areas, allow people to purchase naming rights there. It could be a group of small businesses. We could make a small business mall at the Erie Canal Locks. We can do these sort of things, and we can raise revenue in ways that are not taxation and still maintain our infrastructure, still it better.
What you're talking about is being creative.
Yes.
Coming up with different ideas, doing things in a new way.
Yep. Yeah, because let's be really realistic about this. New York State spends a lot of money. We spend a ton of money. And we are going to have to bridge the gap. If we want to eliminate tolls, we're going to have to bridge that gap. Now, we want to bring spending down. Absolutely. This is a way to do it, by offloading road maintenance costs to somebody who's willing to pay for advertising.
Hey, you know what? I've been meaning to ask you and Larry this question, like, forever. And I keep forgetting to do it. Must be something to do with my advanced age. But can I ask it now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So where do you guys come down on fracking?
Oh, fracking is very simple. So it has to be 100% transparent. The reason – so there have been some issues
with
fracking.
What do you mean by that?
Yep. So a lot of times the people against fracking will say, well, what about this bad thing that happened because of fracking and that bad thing that happened?
What bad thing was that? I'd love to
there's,
know.
There's – I forget exactly what – it has to do with the chemicals that were used. So
it's soda pop.
Yeah, I don't know all the technical details. But what I'm getting at is – There has to be a few things true for fracking to be allowed. A, number one, we're eliminating the moratorium from fracking in New York. So fracking will not be banned in New York State under a Sharp-Hollister administration. If you want to frack in your area, you have to, A, the company has to be transparent about how they're doing the fracking and what they're putting in the ground. If they say, oh, we can't tell you because of intellectual property rights, okay, somebody else can frack here then.
Does that
you.
Ever happen?
Yes, that's why the issue, and I don't know the specifics, the issue that happened was they basically said, we can't tell you what we're doing because of intellectual property rights, and that's what caused the issue that people normally point at as like, that's why fracking's bad. I don't know the specifics. I'd have to look in our little policy thing here.
I hadn't heard that. I just know that fracking is a technology that's been around for 60, 65 years. And I'm unaware of any serious problem that has ever – I mean, look.
The biggest pollution problem.
You're going to have – there's a risk-benefit analysis to everything, right?
Yep.
You know, if we're going to have airliners that fly people around and save everybody a lot of time and get you to destinations in a reasonable time compass, every once in a while there's going to be an accident.
Yes, it's true. Yep.
We're going to lose 35,000 people on the roads every year because some people drive drunk, some people drive like idiots.
Yep.
So some people drive like Mayor Lovely Warren's chauffeur driver.
Yep.
So what are you going to do? I mean, there's a risk benefit. We can't promise you that there will never be any problems for fracking, but
correct. That's
but the
why
technology
we're just saying,
is perfectly safe.
Yeah, that's why we're saying make it transparent. So you want to frack in an area, the company's just got to be transparent about what they're going to put in the ground. And how they're going to put it there. And then the local community just has to say yes. And any other community, so say you're going to do fracking and it's on the border of another community, they have to say yes too. So transparent, and anybody impacted has to say, yes, I'm okay with that. There you go. Have fracking.
So you do it by referendum then?
It would be a vote, local vote.
Yeah, referendum.
Yep.
So the local citizens would approve it, just like they approve their school board.
Exactly. Yep. Same idea. There will be no statewide ban on fracking. It'll be open and available. I think there's only 13 counties in New York that are actually viable for fracking, and I think they're mostly in the southern tier.
Yeah, because that's where all the gas is. So, yeah. No kidding. So, I mean, they're the ones who, you know, you look at the counties that border those counties in Pennsylvania, they're all doing great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are. It's definitely there's a boom going on with that. It's helping their economies. It's helping people absolutely. So yeah, fracking. Yeah, as long as everybody agrees and it's transparent, we have no problems. So we've got a few minutes left. I'm just gonna give us our sharp update. This weekend's gonna be really busy, jam packed as always. I am going to actually be at a Scope event tomorrow. They're hosting a Get Out the Vote. I'll be there. That's north of Syracuse, I believe. We're going to talk about just getting out the vote, talking about Second Amendment issues. We have our Albany rally tomorrow as well. That's tomorrow afternoon. Check out the Facebook page for those details. And then a whole bunch of stuff throughout this next week. We're going to be very, very busy. And just once again, kind of some fun stuff. Larry Sharp is currently the most Googled candidate for governor in Western New York. So that's very exciting. Hope you guys keep looking for our policies.
Real quick before we run out of time, have any polling data for us?
I have no polling data. There was that one Siena poll that went out, which everybody's saying is a fake poll. They polled 701 people out of 12 million voters. So that...
teeny tiny sample, in other words.
Yeah,
give them some contact information if they want to learn more.
Yeah, so come find us. Go to Facebook.com, search Andrew Hollister for a New New York, Larry Sharp for a New New York, and I'll catch you guys next week.